When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And this weekend was just nuts because it was Andre's house was just like, pissed me off at so many levels. And then, oh, Jeremy, all he wanted to do was feed me Tattooed Chef. And it's just, hey, everyone, welcome back to Millennial Money. Today, we're going to talk about quitting. We have a very important topic to talk about with quitting because it has a lot to do with the market, what's going on in the world. We have things to talk about, like getting my top five stock picks right now by going to metkevin.com/fool. Because we are sponsored by The Motley Fool today. So make sure to go to metkevin.com/fool to drop in your email and you'll immediately get to see the five. You don't have to pay for anything. It's totally free. And you'll see Motley Fool's commentary on it, which is pretty cool. We've got a competition going between all of us here. And where do we want to start?
Let's start here. You would be a fool not to see your five stock picks because I will win.
Nice? I don't know about that. Here, let me bring him in from timeout because then he can take care of making sure that you are not the one who wins. Jeremy, why is Graham not going to win?
Graham's not going to win because he's probably too safe. The one that's going to win is Andre because he's the most underdog of all us. And so, therefore, he's likely going to end up winning the competition.
Hey, you know what I was considering doing? You guys remember that study about the monkey that throws darts at the stock chart? I was thinking about submitting that portfolio because, you know, statistically picking small market caps is going to win. So I was like, you know, I know you guys are going to pick ETFs or all your growth stocks. I'm just going to pick my monkey to throw at the chart just to prove that study right. But seriously, would that work?
It should. I mean, right? Statistically, it should at least in the short term do pretty well. What was it? I think it was like 96% of the time it outperformed the S&P 500 by like, I don't know. It wasn't by much, but the fact that it outperformed even a little bit, such a heavy amount of time, I mean, it's pretty impressive.
I thought it was by something like 90%. So I because when Motley Fool reached out to us, I was thinking, you know what? I'm just going to pick five random stocks. And they asked us to give them a reason why we picked them. So I just wanted to give them like just a picture of a monkey. Just like, that's why I picked them. Just see what they say.
That would have been funny. Reason number one, monkey threw it at the dart. Reason number two, it's just what monkey. It hit.
Well, the good news is everybody can go to, what is it, fool.com/Andre to see what Andre's picks are, and they could see how much of a fool he was with those those monkey picks.
Or you fool.com/Graham and see what a real portfolio looks like.
Did any of you guys do a video on the hamster, the crypto hamster?
No.
Okay, so that went viral.
Because I didn't hear about that until it was like all over the internet.
Yeah, it went viral like 2 weeks ago. It was something like a hamster was trading crypto somehow in a little cage and it beat the S&P 500. It was destroying fund managers. And I don't know what the exact returns were.
I'll tell you how that was coordinated. He had a wheel. And depending on how long he was on the wheel for, it would pick a different currency. Like it would roll the wheel for like a second. It would go from one to another, to another, to another, to another. And when they stopped on the wheel, then there were two tubes. If he went in one tube, it was buy it. If he went in the other tube, it was sell. So they basically calculated, all right, if he's on the wheel for like 3 seconds, locks in on this currency, he goes in this one, it's buy. And if he goes in the other one, we're just going to sell it right afterwards. That was it.
Yeah, we do a lot. It just sounds like this is like bored people trying to do stupid crap, assigning basically randomness is what they did. They just assigned randomness to crypto, relative randomness. It's hamster randomness. And then deduced, oh, well, you know, that beat the S&P. Whatever, dude. While they were doing the experiment, all crypto was going up. You'd have to be an idiot not to have made money between, you know, like what, whenever it was, May and just recently. Crypto's been like this, man. It's been easy. Yeah.
Hey, imagine if we hosted a live event version of that where we put Graham or Kevin in a hamster wheel and we just made them run and it just picked out random stocks or cryptos. See if we can beat the S&P 500. That would be awesome.
That's the secret.
That would do well.
You're talking about the hamster wheel, right, Andre?
That's right. Just like a giant, like real life version, like for a human size.
We're in the real life version. As YouTubers, we're in a real life version of the hamster wheel where we keep having.
This is true.
the hamster wheel of the algorithm.
Yeah, we just keep it out.
So speaking of the algorithm, why are things in many cases feeling like they're getting worse? It feels like the great worsening and there's lots of quitting going on. Why don't we take a little bit and see, like, I want to know from you guys, why does it feel like real estate's getting more ridiculous, more bubbly? Why does it feel like rents are getting more bubbly? Why are used car prices going up again? Why are lumber costs going up again? Why is oil going up? It can't be inflation because Jerome Powell said it was going to be transitory. What's going on?
Wait, are you saying that he lied to us or he flipped?
I don't know. Graham, what you tell us. What's your next title? The Fed lied to us? Tell me.
The Fed just lied. Do this now. No, I don't know. I find it odd. I think originally, Kevin, you touched on one of your videos that it could have been some Delta variant scares, because the way I see it is whatever we're seeing now is almost like a delayed reaction of what happened like a month ago. So really we could look back a month, what happened back then that might impact what we see today. And if that's Delta variant kind of being spooky a little bit and more regulation put in place, then maybe that'll have a bit of an impact today.
Did you guys see Andre? That coffee that Jeremy drank? That was some Dutch Bros. That was not 50 cent iced coffee I saw there. Dude, Dutch Bros is so good. Not sponsored. Oh, I love Dutch Bros, man.
It's yeah. And the stock's been red hot. I don't know. Maybe it cooled down, but.
Yeah.
Go. Ooh, yeah.
You invested in it?
I'm not invested in it. No, I'm not. Not. Whoa. Great.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So let me just fix my computer for a second. Hold on one sec, guys.
I slipped.
There we go.
Oh, it happened again.
There we go.
Andre, what do you think? What's happening in the market? Is it something where you're spending more money on the house, or are you investing in this thing?
Well, I'm finished with the house. You were here in town, which was awesome. We got to hang out. We went to Hofbräuhaus. Wait, how do you pronounce it? Hofbräuhaus. That's right.
Perfect. Your video should be dropping tomorrow, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to see my house tour, Kevin did like a complete house tour, like way more in depth than I did. And he gave me his thoughts about the remodel and how good of a job I did or not. That we'll see about what happened with that. But I'm not.
It's
40
minutes long and I'm posting all of it.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. So no, I'm not really overthinking it. I'm just thinking it's the Delta variant. I don't know what much more there is other than that. But it still doesn't make sense. Like I'm trying to think about it from my perspective. If I had a job right now, and if I was afraid of the Delta variant, if I was vaccinated, would I really be quitting, or would I just continue working? And if companies laid people off, wouldn't I want my unemployment income? I wouldn't want to quit ahead of time unless I had some backup plan. So I'm not sure how much we can blame it on the Delta variant of people quitting ahead of time just because of fear. But I mean, that's my best guess. And I'm not sure what other reason people have discovered, other than maybe if people have realized just how many ways there are to make money online now. And maybe they're like, listen, I don't want to waste my time at this retail job. That's not going to get me anywhere. So maybe they're doing more things online. I could see that happening, but I don't know. What about you, Jeremy?
Oh man, I don't want to talk about all these serious subjects. I'm on cloud 9 right now because I just picked up my Model S Plaid edition from They dropped it at the wrong house, so I had to go all the way to Henderson. But oh my gosh, man, I was just enjoying it.
Wait, explain this. They dropped off your Tesla at the wrong house, your other house, Jeremy?
Yeah, the house like 20 minutes away.
Jeez, I don't know how you cope.
It's so tough. And then I got stuck in traffic going only 30 miles an hour coming back. But anywho, yeah, so I'm in just on cloud nine right now, so you really can't anything.
Did you test out launch mode?
No, but I can tell you, even in plaid mode, Andre, it's ridiculous. Like that car could easily put, like, there's nothing street legal that could hang with that, in my personal opinion. I don't care what you got, Lambo, Ferrari, Bugatti.
I actually got to test drive that car the first week it was released because my neighbor has one. And
nice.
I was like, can I drive it? He's like, sure. So he just let me have at it. It was insane, man. I thought I would not feel a difference between the Model S Performance and the Plaid, but you do. It's insane.
It's out of control from what I've tested. But anyways, to serious subjects here. Yeah, something that was on my mind today, I saw a very contrarian thing when it comes to real estate, because I know you brought up real estate, Kevin. And I don't know if you guys saw the article on CNBC today from an analyst who basically actually saying we're overbuilding houses. Everybody says we're underbuilding houses. I know, Kevin, this is a weird one. Everybody says we're underbuilding. We need more houses. This guy took a completely contrarian view, and he says we're overbuilding right now. And he makes arguments that household formation is going down and blah, blah, blah. And I just thought it was interesting because I haven't heard anybody take a contrarian point on that. Like, it's a consensus that we need to build more houses, we need to increase the amount of real estate. And he just had a different point of view. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you guys got to see that. I'm sure you guys might do a reaction of that when you see that at some point.
But hold on, wouldn't prices be going down if we were overbuilding? Why would he say that? Prices are going up.
It says here that the current supply of homes for sale is not indicative of the overall need to build more homes. Demand is strong right now because, wait for it, wait for his statistic, okay? You ready for this? Wait for it. Quote, because of an unusual emotional surge driven by the pandemic. Who is this idiot? This is the stupidest garbage I've ever heard. Why are you reading this?
Kevin, you're really going in on him.
Kevin, what could be an emotional surge, though? Could you explain what he means by that?
Well, I think it, and I haven't continued reading, but my guess is probably like, oh, we don't want to live in the city anymore, so we're going to go to the suburbs. But look, you're seeing a lot of cities, with the exception of San Francisco, you're seeing a lot of cities like Chicago, Atlanta, even New York, Manhattan, you're seeing prices up again relative to pre-pandemic, specifically for residential. You are seeing... we've got, 12 million new households that were formed over the period of time where they measure this. I don't know exactly what the period of time is. But we had 12 million housing units formed or households formed, and only like 7-point-something million housing units created. So we have this massive like 5 million stock shortage. Again, I don't know exactly what time that represents, but I do remember the rest of the statistics. And it takes forever to build homes. I mean, California, just for example, we're building 80,000 homes a year. We need to be building 300,000 homes a year just to be break even with our housing needs. I don't understand where in the world of liability, permits, construction nightmares, this person has the audacity to say we have too many homes. He's a complete moron. And every single person who's frustrated right now about expensive housing should be sending this person an email and telling him how they really feel.
Well, and so I think that's why we got so much attention. I mean, it was like the number two trending article on CNBC today. I obviously clicked on it because it was, you don't hear anybody doing that right now, right? Stock market. There's people saying the stock market's going to go down 20%. There's people saying it's going to go up 20%. Crypto is people saying it's going to crash. It's going to go up. So that's not interesting. Real estate, everybody has a consensus that we need a lot more homes and, just building a lot more homes. And he just takes a contrarian view, and it obviously has people's attention. But Kevin, in California specifically, because I know this was one of the things you ran on when you were running for governor. Where would these houses be built? You talk about 300,000 houses. Like what cities? Where would you imagine the main amount of houses being built?
Yeah, worth noting, this guy also does some kind of housing summit that he wants to sell you tickets for or sell you stuff for once
that's,
you're there.
Here's the thing, though. That's great marketing, because even if he says something that's not true, if 5% of people who read that believe it, he's getting 100 times more attention than if he says there's a housing shortage. That gets lost in the noise.
That's what I said for the guy that was talking about real estate. I was like, well, Zillow.
And I was don't get me wrong. But, you know, being a moron is complete, like, solid marketing. Like, there are plenty of morons on the daily who are making videos about how the market fracking day. And, like, I make videos that have titles, the market, you know, the coming crash or whatever, to comment on this bull crap. And then, of course, you have total morons who just read the title and leave a comment like, yeah, Kevin thinks the market's going to crash every day. If you watch my videos, I'm actually insanely consistent with I believe. But what you have is you have people that'll do these things where they're like, oh, well, BlackRock has 25% of their homes in or 25% of their assets invested in China, and they're the biggest investment firm. Imagine if they go belly up. Then we're going to have a market crash. And when you look into the data of the bull crap they're spewing, it's like, dude, you're an idiot, A. B, you're totally wrong. You're referring to like one fund that BlackRock has that represents like 0.1% of all their assets. And of that, 25% is in China. Like, that's the stupidity that gets views and clicks. And it's hard for us as content creators who care about quality and factual content to compete with that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you this. It's not a way to build a reputation, because this person can blow this kind of smoke and eventually people find out you're full of crap.
I think Kevin's about to go Super Saiyan 3. Like, he's like, his eyebrows. Are gonna
just fall off. I'm about to start screaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, wait.
First off, Kevin, be respectful, okay? These are nice people, okay? Let's not call them morons and idiots, all right? Second, even though I know you feel that way.
What he said was moronic. And okay. Idiotic. He's probably a nice idiot or a nice moron.
Okay.
Anyway, so I mean, there are things to take apart. I haven't read the entire thing here, but then he says like, oh, cited data from the U.S. Census showing household formation down 24% where it was in the prior four decades. But it also makes you wonder, like, how much of that is driven by the pandemic? How much of that was driven by some of the latest trends that we've seen where younger folks are staying at home more? But remember, we've got a lot more younger folks than we do older folks, right? So I don't know. But anyway, I think... Jeremy, you had asked, where do you build these homes? Dude, if you can build in a desert in Vegas and Henderson, you can build interior land of California. It's not that hard. The problem is you've got incompetent government that wants to say that, and this is like very stupid as well, that tries to come across as progressive. And so they try to say, well, you know, real estate in Newport Beach is really expensive. We should force Newport Beach to build 4,000 new affordable housing units. And Newport Beach's city council is like, where are we going to put them? Yeah. Where? We are surrounded by a beach and a freaking highway, and there's no more room. What do you want us to do? Well, figure it out. And it's totally stupid, because what it's saying is that anybody who wants to get started in real estate should be able to live on the beach of Newport Beach. It doesn't work that way. Okay. You work your way up with a smaller, simpler house. This is the basics of capitalism in our country. You don't get handed a beachfront property. You know, it was kind of like The Hill, The Rising did this thing about corporations buying up all these homes. And they're like, they were complaining about how this $450,000 house sold with multiple offers for $600,000. And they're like, how does a fixer-upper like this in Washington, D.C. sell for $150,000 over asking? How is a new millennial family ever supposed to get ahead and be able to move in when corporations are buying up all these homes? And then I did the actual research, did a reaction video to it. I'm like, wait a minute. Who says a brand new millennial family is supposed to be able to buy a $650,000 house in, mind you, a $900,000 neighborhood once the house is fixed up. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, when you look at the details, these publications that go viral are completely idiotic. And I'm gonna call them, I'm gonna call it the way I see it.
Kevin, okay, so when you talk about $300,000 a year, are we talking like 150 Southern California, 150 Northern California? Where would the split be on that?
Yeah, well, so you've got over 500 municipalities in California. So really what you really need to do is you just average it out and everybody's got to build more. But realistically, what we should be doing is we should be building either vertically or we should be building, or in combination to, we should be building more, which I kind of prefer, build master planned communities outside of large cities. So we don't have to live in downtown Los Angeles. What you need is a new community outside of Los Angeles. And what you do is you put a casino in the middle, or a few casinos in the middle. You build new schools, new police departments, new downtown city centers. You have a master planned community. You tax appropriately that community for these new homes that are, which you can do with like these Mello-Roos assessments, very, very common for new developments. So that way the schools and fire departments, all that are supported. Now you build affordable homes for $400,000 as opposed to $800,000, what your median home price is in California. And you invest in better infrastructure to connect the cities and those suburbs. And with work from home becoming more popular, give people an opportunity not to leave California to go to Vegas or Texas or Florida. Give them more affordable housing options outside of our big cities.
You're talking about like areas like Rancho Cucamonga, like places like that, right? Or maybe out in Riverside.
Anywhere there's space. That's my thing. And look, people are like, well, what about the farmland? Fly over California. If you fly just vertically over California, you will see zero shortage of land. In other words, there is plenty of land in California. Now, we have an idiot governor who doesn't make sure we have enough water and enough power for our state. But, you know, that's why I ran.
Kevin, is it possible to even do that, make casinos with agreements right now with tribal casinos?
Yeah. So what you have, look, everything in politics is a negotiation, right? But what, in my opinion, what you do is you partner with the casino, the tribes. Hey, we're going to build new, or we have a vision to legalize all forms of gambling, and we want to partner with you. Where do you all want to build? What if we gave you access to land that you don't have right now so you can expand your business while at the same time we let the Wynn or the MGM or whatever come and compete in certain areas? You just negotiate it out. Ultimately, most organizations want growth, and having a in my opinion, version of a progressive capitalist governor would allow you to do that.
Graham, could you imagine a Wynn in like Beverly Hills? Oh my God.
The thing is, I don't know many cities that are big enough to support something. You need a substantial amount of space.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Is don't put it in like Beverly Hills or something. You don't have to. You don't need to. You could, maybe in the future, right? You could, because you could have legalized gambling everywhere. Existing hotels could add in gambling if they wanted to. But in my opinion, you build new casinos, just like you have Vegas strips. Imagine like 10 Vegas strips outside of Fresno, outside of Bakersfield, outside of Barstow, outside of Sacramento. Now, all of a sudden, you have 10 brand new Vegas strips in California. And people have a choice, like, okay, we did Vegas. Now we're going to try the Taylor Swift show outside Sacramento because she's on the strip over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you create jobs. That's how you build new communities. I'm just tired of the lack of growth. And then you have people like this saying, oh, no, we don't need to build more houses. What are you talking about? You're pulling stats out of your bum, or you're manipulating them to lie to people to sell your summit or whatever this jerk's doing. It pisses me off.
Kevin, that's what Vegas did. We built Summerlin as a master plan community, and that's how we kind of expanded. We put a casino there. There's Red Rock, and the area really flourished. And some of the highest pieces of real estate, some of the most valuable pieces of real estate are in Red Rock, in Summerlin. So it was awesome. Yeah, it's a plan that works, and it's worked before. It's worked here in Vegas, so it's clearly the most obvious thing to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not that hard. What you need is a streamlined government processes to streamline permitting, to make it simpler, get the government out of the way, you know, still inspect properties to make sure they're safe to better standards. You know, 2022 standards should be way better than 2018 standards. That's fine. Make sure homes are efficient in that. But let the market do its thing. And the market doing its thing is providing more houses. And guess what? If there's an inflection point in 10 years, like maybe this guy is thinking like, oh, in 10 years, we're not going to need as many homes. Fine. Then guess what? Housing becomes more affordable for people. That's a good thing.
Mm. Solved. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Crisis averted. There we go.
Yeah. So when you're flying in your private jet over California, you said there's a lot of land out there, huh, Kevin?
There's so much land I see from that beautiful Phenom 300 that if I wanted to buy, I'd have to wait 18 months for.
18 months?
Not that I looked it up or anything.
Wow. Yeah, I saw your Instagram story. You were saying something like the private jet companies are super booked up right now, and then you can't even get a private jet right now. Or what was that about?
Yeah. The private jet companies are so booked up right now because the commercial airlines are delaying flights like crazy. They're canceling flights like crazy. The one time so far this year, I took a JetBlue flight to a very important meeting in Florida. It was a podcast. The flight was so horribly delayed that I ended up 15 minutes late, even though I should have had 4 or 5 hours of buffer. And so people are frustrated over this. So they're you know, splitting the fare for a private jet. So, for example, if you're going to fly, you know, San Diego to San Francisco and it's $8,000, but you can put 6 people in it. Hey, whatever, $1,200 a ticket. That's still a lot. Don't get me wrong. But for companies, it's making sense to do that rather than pay like first class $1,200 on a, you know, or business class or whatever on Southwest doesn't have it, but whatever, like American or United or whatever, and then end up getting canceled or delayed. And the shortages, this is what I'm saying. Like, everything's worse and it's no surprise people are quitting. Last time I went to LAX, I went to where I usually go at the airport, the bar, and I was talking to the bartender, and she is like, I'm not even supposed to be in this terminal. I'm supposed to be in that one. I'm so tired of this effing union because they're trying to make me work and manage all these other people, but they don't show up and we can't hire enough people. So I'm overworked. Like, I want to quit. There's so much frustration at the airports right now. So when I was leaving Vegas, we got there to the terminal, the private terminal, and the pilots are standing there like, yeah, we don't have gas. And I'm like, I don't need that. they're like, we don't have enough gas. We got to get kerosene. And I'm like, okay, like, get gas. they're like, yeah, it's a 2.5 hour queue right now to get kerosene for them to drive the little gas cars around and get you gas. Now, because this private company does so much business with that airport and they probably pay higher fees, we ended up getting bumped and we got gas within 10 minutes. Everybody, like a bunch of other commercial flights, were getting canceled. I texted the coordinator of the event, that Pokemon event we went to, out of the blue. I'm on the runway. He texted me and he's like, hey man, my flight just got canceled. I can't get out of Vegas, so I'm going to the planet instead, because I told him to go there, Jeremy. and then he actually said his buddy is manually going to drive back to Texas. Well, manually, like, is just literally just going to drive back.
That's a long drive. That's 8 hours.
20 hours. That's why, like, this whole like supply crisis and the worker shortage, it's so bad. Like, there's plenty of money. That's the weird thing about this market, is everybody's got plenty of money. And I don't obviously want to speak for everyone, but you look at household savings, you look at, you know, repos, whatever. There's plenty of money in the ecosystem, but like, it's become very hard to spend money because you're paying not in dollars, but in frustration and time.
Right.
Isn't that the worst, Andre? Have you ever had your private jet run out of fuel before?
So relatable.
How's the Corolla? No,
speaking of going to the Pokemon event, though, we were all there, and Graham, you pulled a Charizard on stage. So
I did.
It was a charity event with Steve Aoki and Gary, the Pokemon King, and Graham and I, and I don't know, Jeremy, did you go up? They had us all open a pack or a set of three, and it was crazy because for like the first, I want to say 80% of the event, people started to think that this box, which is supposed to have 36 packs, was rigged because nobody was getting good cards. It was crazy. And then Graham just
yeah.
freaking Charizard out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was odd though, because the first edition box, it was like, just for those that aren't aware, there are usually anywhere from 11 to 13 holos per box. You have a 1 in 3 chance of pulling a holo. And for the first like 2 hours of this event, people were not pulling any holos. It was weird. They all started showing up at the end though. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the chances of that. But anyway.
By the way, the lot, I think, how much was it? Like $12,000 to $15,000 on average that people bid. And
yes.
The advertising for that event was so bad because nobody was able to get a lot just because they launched it before people even knew about it. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get our 3 packs. So whatever I opened, I opened for someone else. I didn't get anything. And I felt so bad because whoever had me open for them, I feel like I just gave them the worst of luck. Anyway.
Yeah, I ended up going into an agreement to buy 1 first edition pack that was supposed to be a heavy, and it turned out it was not a heavy. We weighed it before, and the seller was incredible. It was so nice. But we cracked.
To anyone who doesn't know what Graham just said, by the way, when he says weigh it, there's these scales that are so sensitive, you could basically blow on them, and they weigh the air on them. There's like, I don't know, hundredths of a gram. And it's the holographic ink on a plane, on a card that is like 0.02 grams heavier. And so whenever you weigh a pack, if it falls below a certain threshold, which I think was like below 20 grams.
Below 21. Grams, anything below 21 is a light pack.
Yeah, which means you're not going to get that expensive card. Anything over 21, you will. And so people that weigh them will sell them as a premium. And so Graham was going to buy the heavy one, but it turned out to be a light.
Yeah, and just
Jeremy,
so you can
are you still awake?
Well, I just thought, man, we're on a roll. We're talking about private jet fuel. We're talking about $10,000 packs of Pokemon cards. We're on a roll, guys.
Yeah, and just to keep that roll going, just so you can picture the scale. You got to picture the scale.
Kevin! Kevin, no! Kevin, no!
No, we can't do that, Kevin.
Kevin!
No,
it's the scale.
There goes the monetization now. You owe us.
Which reminds me, if you have not yet, make sure to learn about great stocks, including potentially marijuana-based stocks, by checking out my top 5 stocks by going to metkevin.com/fool right here, legal in California.
Let's just hope that the YouTube algorithm didn't catch that, but yeah, hopefully it was all right. Hopefully it was all right.
It just logs all our users off right now. Like, no one's watching this feed anymore. So, my goodness. So, Kevin, when are you buying Tattoo Chef stock?
Once I cover my shorts.
Kevin. when are you going to learn, Kevin? Tattoo Chef's going to be a beast someday. You're going to see.
It's just been printing so well for the last, 2 weeks.
Have you ever heard of long-term investing before? Or is that
Nope. Just started 2 months ago.
I don't know if you're doing day trading, swing trading, or what you're doing over there. But long-term, Kevin, buy and hold. Buy and hold. Isn't that right, Andre?
Buy and hold. For example, the Charizard I bought, or the set, somebody just listed it for $270,000 on eBay. Just that one card.
No way.
Wait, which card?
The PSA 10 Charizard, the Shadowless, non-first edition, listed
but
on
that's,
eBay for $70.
But that's an ask price. Listen, Gary puts his whole collection up there for $26 million.
Sure, but I mean, where else are you going to find it if it's not there? From a private sale, maybe, but either way, I feel good. I'm just crossing my fingers someone buys it at that price or close to there.
I think Graham's just hating on Andre because Andre, you're starting to get better deals and negotiating better than Graham.
That's right.
I think that's what's going on here.
You want to see good deals? Watch that video I'm about to post of Andre's house coming out tomorrow.
I don't know if that's a facetious comment or if that's a serious comment.
You got to find out.
You'll see. And then maybe one of these days, Graham will let me post the specific video that of another walkthrough.
Kevin did another walkthrough that I was supposed to do, but Kevin got first dibs on it. And we're both going to be coming out with our own videos.
Yeah, you have first post.
Kevin's going to post after me. It's going to be good.
Did you guys do a video of the $100 million walkthrough or something?
No.
No?
You'll see it. You'll see it when it comes out.
All right. Was it one of your houses or somebody else's?
You'll see it when it comes out.
secret.
Tell me.
It's not a secret. It's a secret. I can't do that. So
go to motleyfool.com/find out.
So how about this, guys? Why are so many people quitting right now? Let's cover the title of the video really quick before we move on to the stock market.
Is it possibly women? Oh, and this is not a sexist thing. It's just this is what my research is showing is that you have, first of all, a disproportionate amount of women people who work jobs under $40,000 are women and minorities, but the minority part separate. A disproportionate amount of those jobs under $40,000 are service-based, bartenders, waitresses, house cleaning, hotel, service jobs, right? This is just statistics, okay? So for all the sensitive people, the statistics. Then you have a lot of women who are disproportionately the child caretakers in a family. Not all, just disproportionate. And a lot of families are not wanting their children to potentially get COVID and their children can't get the vaccine yet. Not saying you have to vaccinate your children. Okay, geez, all the PC stuff. But anyway, this is potentially leading less women to be in the workforce. Is that potentially a drag as to why hotels and airports and service-based, travel-based industries are having trouble actually hiring people? Maybe in part because of children or whatever else.
What if it's an omittance of statistics? So, for example, if we've first shown the statistics of how many people are quitting, does it show within that same statistic how many people were maybe hired by another company because they got a better offer somewhere else? Or is it just showing the quitting number?
That's how I interpreted this. I interpret it like, hey, they're quitting because they're getting hired somewhere else at a better wage. Like, you have to think too, if there's a wage shortage and right now you're working at, Joe Schmo company making $10 an hour and there's a shortage and now all of a sudden you get a job somewhere else for $18 an hour, it makes sense.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What if you're becoming an independent contractor also instead of an employee?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm just saying, as far as the statistics go, do those numbers kind of include it within that whole thing, or is it just showing the people quitting?
Well,
I don't think that's the whole picture.
Yeah, I mean, I would say let's look, because this is the data can tell us that. So this is BLS, Employment of Women on Non-Farm Payrolls by Industry Sector. With the seasonal adjustment. And so really what you could do here is you could look at September of 2020. So this column right here, compare it to this. So total private, you've gone up 0.1%. You've got goods producing, you've gone up 0.2%. Trying to see where there's a decline. Here's a decline. Oh, in mining and logging, we now have slightly less women working in mining and logging. Okay. But I'm not actually seeing massive shifts here. Here's a shift. Transportation and warehousing, you actually saw employment by women go up by 0.4%. Wait, hold on. That's actually just from August. Let me go to last year. Oh, here we go. 1.3%. So more transportation and warehousing jobs. So think like Amazon, right? That's just an example I could think of. But otherwise, these numbers aren't like insanely different. So I can't say, at least based on this. I mean, even government, we went from, you know, 57.4% women to 58%. So maybe 0.6% went to government. I don't know. These don't seem like huge shifts.
Mm. Okay. So I guess it could be that people are just getting rehired at better offers then, right? Or is that just showing the women's statistic? We look at like everyone?
Well, that's where we could go to average hourly earnings. And we can see that, well, this is average hourly, average weekly. So average weekly earnings for all people has gone up. Year over year, we went from 845 to 894. So that's, what is that, 5% or something like that? And month over month, just sort of consistent with that trend. Average pay per hour used to be $24.79. Now it's $26.15. So $26.15 divided by what it was, $24.79. That's 5.4% up. So, I mean, yeah, wages have gone up. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, even here, look, leisure hospitality. You've gone from average hourly of 1480 to 1671. If anything, it almost seems like that's a higher rate. I mean, let's try that.
Yeah, like look at primarily retail, because I think that's the sector's most affected.
Okay, so leisure hospitality went up 12.9%.
That's
so
big.
While overall wages went up 5.4% year over year, leisure and hospitality went up 12.9%. So they are trying to pay more, but we're still having these shortages.
Man, it makes me think, like, if I was, let's say, graduating high school right now, I might have never gone to college, to be honest, just because there's so many jobs that pay really, really well that you can get right off the jump. You know, versus when I obviously graduated and it was a great recession and it was like no jobs. And if you got a job, it was, you know, minimum wage and it was limited hours and things like that. Like, shoot, man, there's a lot of opportunity out there. I go to fast food places all the time. They're hiring at like, you know, $14, $15, $16 an hour. You know, it's an interesting time we're going through.
You know, I bet if I was graduating, oh, what's that? Oh, snap.
Well, I want to ask Kevin a question here. Is this a time Tesla is making its big move? It's over 800 here.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to ask you when you were going to sell Tattooed Chef and finally get into a real stock like Tesla. but
Kevin,
yeah,
why don't you sell your Peloton and then get in a real stock like Tattooed Chef for the next 5 years?
If you paid attention, you would have already known that I sold all of my Peloton at 113.
Kevin, you're in and out of so many stocks. We can't keep track. That's a full-time job. We don't know you're in.
See, Jeremy, you gotta join the Stocks and Psychology of Money Group. The coupon code is expiring. You get 17% off, but the price is going up. I've got this down.
Then you'd have all the tracking right there for you. I took the words right out of my mouth.
Program? I think Graham has an affiliate program set up. Jeremy, where's mine?
All right. So, I mean, look, Tesla used to, and it's interesting. I haven't, I actually have not counted this. So I'm going to count this out with y'all now. Tesla used to do this thing where it would do 21 day runs. And that was where you would literally just have this cycle of like 21 days of up. Quite frankly, we've been on an uptrend longer, but we've had red days in between. So I don't know if we can really call it 21 days of runs, but this acceleration of the price going up is happening. It's real. See, I drew this trend line. See, look at this. I drew this trend line over here. This is a faster rate. And now we're at an even faster rate. So I'd have to kind of draw this line up and out more, up being the important part. But anyway, we are moving up faster than we have previously. Look at this chart. This chart's a disaster. Usually when we get those 21-day runs, we see stuff like this, where it just goes insane because all of a sudden the stock becomes in vogue again. And what's really interesting now, especially for you, Jeremy, because I know you're interested in the options right now, the implied volatility on Tesla right now is insanely low. And that's because it's been a year of this almost, well, maybe not a full year, but it's been like 10 months of the stock doing nothing or trading sideways. So I actually just bought some call options on it because the volatility is so low right now. And if it keeps running, it's going to be pretty juicy. But I think it deserves it. I mean, I love Tesla. I know it's expensive, but I'm a big bull.
And you're still holding the bunch of options you bought a while back, right?
Yep, I am.
Okay. And then I've been looking into this one, another Kathy Wood favorite lately, Teladoc. I've been spending a lot of time on that one lately. Mm. Still early days there. It's interesting, though.
I want to ask you, though. I mean, because my concern is that you have a ton of people still in stocks like Peloton, Teladoc, Zoom, and the stay-at-home stocks because they fear Delta coming back this winter, which it may. However, when this whole Delta stuff goes away, people are going to rotate out, in my opinion, of those trades. They're always going to be hodlers. You know, those hodlers are going to hold the price at some level. But above the hodlers are the traders, and the traders are going to get out. And I just think the more we see cases go down, the more the traders get out, that if even if they've been a year-long trader or whatever, they're going to get out of things like TDOC. I don't know. What's your thought on that? Is it just, you know, it's gone down enough? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, TDOC's getting interesting because it's fallen so much. I mean, that one topped at like 300. It's down to 131 today. It was at 129 the other day. So I still got to do more research in the company in general. But yeah, I mean, as far as a short-term basis, I think a lot of the money's already flowed out. The big money. The retail money's not moving a lot of those type of market caps. Like a TDOC's like 20 billion. You know, I think a lot of money's already moved out of that one. What were we talking about? Zoom? Zoom's already, I mean, that's a $75 billion company, and big money, I think, has already moved out of that one for the most part. But each of these has its own story. Peloton's a story that I've never liked because at the end of the day, fitness companies get super hot, red hot, and then they go red, you know, they go cold. That's just the bottom line. Like, they'll go crazy with growth, and then Zoom is almost feels like a one-trick pony. So that's why I'm not that interested in Zoom, although the stock's fallen dramatically. TDOC seems like a potential long-term play that is a 5-year, 10-year type play that's just, you know, with massive upside. But I got to do more research there. But you really got to take all these stocks one at a time. You can't just group them all in my opinion now, and say they're all the same or they're all going to have the same trajectory. Mm-hmm. Each has its own story. So,
yeah, I like Jeremy, that.
You know what Kathy Wood also really, really likes? You forgot about this one.
Your camera's a little blurry, Andre.
All right, sorry. Bitcoin. This one.
Bitcoin's been beasting, Andre. You've been making a fortune. You're looking like a beast right now.
Oh yeah, the Beanie Babies. It's crazy. I don't know why they go up. I don't know. It's such a weird.
Oh
weird
man.
Thing.
Same by the way. Shiba Inu. I've been following this. What is it at now? It's fallen slightly. I am surprised we've barely seen a dip over the last day. It's at almost 0.00003 cents.
Wow.
I honestly gotta say, I'm shocked so far there's not a dump, and things have held fairly steady since Friday. Which, if you guys see something like that, I'm actually impressed.
Andre, I got a question. Is there a thing in the crypto community where, you know, I know you're big in Bitcoin and Ethereum by far, but is there a thing in the crypto community where, you know, people that are playing smaller tokens and are making crazy gains, like laugh at people that maybe hold Bitcoin or other cryptos and like, you're only getting that much, you old grandfather holding your Bitcoin?
Yeah, pretty much every small market cap crypto coin is that. It's like this story of like, ha, you boomer, I just made 1,000% last week. And one of them, I'm sure you guys heard about it. And gosh, I don't know if I say it, because I know if I say it, it's going to get taken out of context. They're going to post it on their Twitter account and be like, see, he's in. He's a bull. But it starts with F and ends in Loki. So there's that. There's also Omi. That's going up like crazy recently. I'm a huge Omi the Homie fan. My investments actually kind of recovered from where I bought it at.
Okay. Yeah, you posted that on Instagram today, didn't you, Andre?
Yeah, I actually just bought an NFT. It's the first one. It's like the first edition Charizard equivalent of an NFT that they minted on their platform, which is actually a Batman figurine that originally sold for $70, but it's now like $1,500. But anyway, I'm hoping it's going to be the next CryptoPunk. It's probably not, but you know, who knows?
Hey, Graham, are you interested in this guy right here? The Planet at 440.
It just keeps dropping, though. That's the thing. I've been watching it. I invested a little bit. I don't know when I told you. It was during the pandemic. Invested a little bit in there, but I've yet to buy back in. Why does it just keep falling?
Well, I think that goes for a lot of small caps. It falls in that category. The hype's dead in a lot of those stocks. There's really not any hype around the Planet. They're executing. The fundamentals are great. It's just there's not hype around the stock. A lot of people are not as interested in the stock market right now. And it's just, you know, there was like this huge flush in of money that made a lot of prices just rise to crazy levels in a very short amount of time. And then we have the bleeding out of that that's going
on. I'm telling you, this year, I still think we're going to get that crazy exponential curve for crypto. Like I'm this close from just moving a substantial amount of my cash into something like Ethereum, just because next year I think it's going to go insane. Actually last week, or what was it, yesterday, 2 days ago? I don't remember. Dogecoin, Dogecoin millionaire, the Dogecoin millionaire. He was in town because he was shooting a documentary with Netflix, which we kind of all got to be a part of. And the next documentary they're producing, they're following around Vitalik Buterin, the creator of Ethereum, for what he's doing and their migration from proof of work to proof of stake. And that is going to be huge, especially when that comes out, because I just think next year Ethereum is just going to crush it. So I think Ethereum is going to be the best bet. Just mark this episode and just like fast forward a year from this point on to like 2022 in October. And let's see where Ethereum's at from that point on.
Yeah, it could be. But the thing is, man, these things have already gone on such big runs. The market caps have already gotten so bloated.
No, we are just getting started.
Listen, I really think the market cap, I think, for Bitcoin is still in its infancy.
I
really believe that. When you look at just how much money is going into it right now and still how it's like, they don't even know what to do with it. They have no idea how to regulate it. I mean, it's still like so new. It's just like the fact that the White House is now just barely beginning to like, they're going to hire experts to look into it. That's really where they are right now. So I think that tells us we're at the very beginning.
It's over $1 trillion now, isn't it? The market cap?
That's like a baby in comparison.
A baby?
Oh yeah. That's a child. Yeah. Wow. Trust me. I don't know how to convince Jeremy. I made a believer out of Graham a little bit, but Jeremy, I don't know, man.
Well, Kevin gets it. It's hard for me to believe in things that don't have utility, and it's not just against Bitcoin. It's against gold as well. You know, gold
bugs. Hold on. Utility. What do you mean utility? Like
it doesn't do anything. Bitcoin doesn't do anything, just as gold doesn't do anything, right?
Wait. So you're saying the ability to have control over your money as a sovereign thing, the ability for third world countries to compete on a global economic relevance, the ability to send money that's immutable, that's not a utility at all.
There's likely way better cryptos than Bitcoin to use for those things, is there not?
Technologically, yes, 100%. Now, if that mattered, Bitcoin would have not been in the top 10 years ago. We have had better technologies. The way crypto moves is not based on what like technology is the best. It's based on brand recognition, and Bitcoin has things going for it that can never be replicated ever again, which the market values extremely high. The fact that we don't know who the creator is. That's, believe it or not, that's a huge part of the fact that Bitcoin is faceless. We can't really point to one individual and say, ha, this guy's scammy or whatever it is. There's no such thing. So Bitcoin has a lot of things going for it that can't be replicated.
Oh, I fully understand that. It doesn't mean I have to agree with it, right? You know what I mean?
Well, which part do you disagree with?
Well, what I just don't agree with is that it should be valued the way it's valued, or anything even close to that. Same thing goes for gold. Like I said, like, you know, pitching Bitcoin and pitching gold can be somewhat similar, right? The use cases can be a little different. You know, gold, say, oh, you know, the thing was, oh, it's made for jewelry. It's been around for thousands of years. We've always had value. Bitcoin, it's like, you know, it's another store of value. But at the end of the day, gold and Bitcoin are basically used as stores of value. Everything else is very secondary.
Which one do you think is better, gold or Bitcoin?
I mean, if I had to buy one, I guess I would probably buy Bitcoin, maybe.
Okay.
But I think
what market cap gold is?
Yeah, about 10 trillion, I would assume.
Right. So yeah. do you think by that logic that if technology is the only thing objectively matters, that Bitcoin would eventually replace the market cap of gold?
I don't think gold should be valued at 10 trillion. That's my issue.
It is. But the market isn't your opinion, right? It just is.
Yeah. And that's why I don't participate in those markets. I like things that actually produce stuff. I like companies that actually do something in the world, right? I like maybe real estate as a backup, because at least people need somewhere to live. Like, humans need somewhere to live. So,
but
you can,
Jeremy, here's the thing. I'm worried that sort of thinking might end up holding you back. I was very much the same way. And I have to say, just watching how things have developed over the last like 4 years with cryptocurrency and NFTs, and even though I do agree that some of these are very hypey and very bubbly, they are now a part of our society, and you can't value them anymore the way that you would a company.
They're not a part of our society. They're not a part of our society. They're a part of the investment community, but they're no. Bitcoin is not relevant, and Ethereum is not relevant in the real world.
I think it is the fact that corporations are putting a lot of money into it. The fact that
Tesla
put a portion of their reserves.
It's just not relevant, though.
Jeremy, what you're seeing in the first world here in the U.S. as far as the utility of Bitcoin and Ethereum is nowhere near the amount of utility that it's getting around the world, where it actually matters, where the utility is much better served for people that are, you know, surrounded by debased fiat currencies. You don't see that because you don't live in those, you know, countries, but around the world, like, it's an insane amount of utility that's going on, that people are using it. I guess you're not seeing it because you're not using it that way, which I understand. But I mean, I guess you could argue the same way that the stock market is kind of part of the investment class. I mean, we don't do anything with stocks. Like, what do you do with it? You wipe your butt with it? You don't do anything with it. It's on your phone. It's just a figment. It's a digital representation of a company that, yes, produces goods, but otherwise it's just a thing.
I mean, the fact is, you wipe out every single crypto in the world out tomorrow. Let's say they're all gone. No one blinks an eye other than people that have money in it. Fact. You wipe Facebook off the face of the earth tomorrow, everybody's going to be like, what the heck am I going to do? You wipe YouTube off the face of the earth. You wipe Google off the face of the earth tomorrow. You wipe Apple off the face of the earth tomorrow. Everybody's going to be like, what the flip am I doing? You know what I mean?
I do, but I don't understand the logic. I'm not following what that means.
Yeah, it's not the best comparison.
It means one matters and one doesn't.
Because you could say that by getting rid of like Facebook, let's say, that's separate from owning stock in Facebook. It would be like saying, you know, you get rid of Bitcoin or the internet. If you get rid of the internet, then everyone freaks out the same way that would apply to Bitcoin too.
Right.
It's the stock ownership.
If
Facebook went private tomorrow, and no stocks were available, no one could invest in Facebook, I don't think anyone would really blink an eye.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the same thing would apply with any company that goes private.
Yeah, but the utility, Graham, that's what you're missing. When you own shares in a stock, it represents the underlying company. And the fact is, at least in the United States, like, if you wipe Bitcoin, Ethereum, like, no one's affected by that. If Apple just disappears tomorrow, 50% of Americans are affected by that.
Jeremy, so let's follow that logic. Therefore what? Okay, so Facebook,
therefore,
is, people freak out. Therefore what?
Therefore, Apple has tremendous value, real value to us as humans. Bitcoin serves almost no value to humans right now. Doesn't mean can't. Maybe in 10 years, we're all using Bitcoin to transact.
I said, thank you. I just needed a soundbite for my video. That's all that was just good.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Jeremy.
It's facts, though. You can't debate it.
But here's the thing. I bet you could say the same thing of someone in the 80s, let's say, who grew up with real value investing, looking at tech companies. Like you gave the example of Facebook. There are so many people that could maybe look at Facebook and say, there's no way it should be valuable.
Graham.
No way Google should. Same with tech companies. So that could be from tech to crypto is what value is to tech.
So Graham, I don't think the 80s is the best time to period to look for. You could talk about the tech bubble, right? When that was a time period when folks that were super into tech stocks, right, that didn't have a lot of real world utility at that time were saying, dude, this is the future. You got to get in. You got to get in. Prices right. went crazy. Valuations went crazy without these things having much real world impact, right? Most of those companies ended up disappearing and no one blinked an eye. Like, I don't care, right?
Jeremy,
and we could be going through one of those periods in crypto right now and just no one realizes it. But when you're making money, you have all the, you have everything on your side, right? It's like, dude, look, it's pumping. We're moving up again. You know, get on the train or don't. So but we Jeremy, just don't know if we're going through one of those.
Aren't you taking somewhat of an arbitrary metric like production and judging a different asset class based on a metric that one asset class is better at? Like, for example, real estate. What production does real estate produce? It doesn't produce anything. So how could you look at a different asset class that's more like a commodity and say, well, it doesn't produce anything, therefore it's like biting an apple and being like, well, this doesn't taste like a banana. It sucks. It has no utility. It doesn't make sense.
Homes are highly relevant. We're all in our homes recording these videos right now. If our home burns down tomorrow, you know, we're in trouble, right? All of a sudden we're like, shoot, we need somewhere else to live. So we need to buy another home. It's extremely relevant. Like, and if all the homes just disappear in the United States of America, that would be a massive deal, right? We'd all be like the whole United States would stop overnight, right? So that's where we're talking about what's actually relevant in the real world. What should things be valued at? The fact is Ethereum could be the biggest thing to hit planet Earth, but right now it's not. That's just factual. You can't say Ethereum has some great impact on us all, because if Ethereum went away tomorrow, no one's impacted other than maybe a few people that work on the Ethereum project and people that are invested in it.
But don't you think the stock market works the same way that we look at future earnings of a company and we don't look at Tesla for what it's worth now and we look at what it could be worth in the future? You could make the same argument in that case. It's Tesla is responsible for production of anything and everything in the world, but it could be in the future. Therefore, I'm willing to pay $800 per share for it. You could make the same case against or for Bitcoin.
Absolutely. But here's the difference, right? With Tesla, I can run you out numbers that will justify its valuation, right? And what I've consistently had trouble with getting out of people is them running numbers to justify the valuation of Bitcoin. Like, why is Bitcoin worth $1 trillion+? Why should it be worth $10 trillion in 5 years or 10 years from now, right? I have a lot of trouble getting those sorts of numbers. There's a lot of people that can run Tesla projections and tell you why Tesla should be valued at $800 billion today and why it deserves to be valued at $1.6 trillion in this year and things like that. So that's another issue we have from that standpoint.
Well, I think I could prove to you how Bitcoin could be worth someday a $10 trillion market, but I think what you would disagree on is the valuation. You'd be like, well, I just don't think it's worth that much. Which I would probably disagree and say, well, the market doesn't care what you think it might be worth. There are catalysts for it to get there. So you might like, I might disagree that some dude's house is worth $1 million. I might look at it and say, well, that's a stupid house. I think it's worth half that, right? Just because I disagree with the valuation doesn't mean I speak for the market. And I can, right.
Yeah. No, 100%, Andre, you're correct. And that goes for any asset, any stock, like you said, real estate, property, crypto, anything. Right. But yeah, it's all in the eyes of the beholder, right? And we just don't know what period we're going through in crypto right now. Maybe we're in a, like you said, maybe crypto's about to go on a super cycle and next thing you know, Bitcoin's gonna be a 5 trillion, 10 trillion, Ethereum's gonna be a multi-trillion. Or maybe we're in the tech bubble days right now. We just don't realize.
That's fair. So I will ask you this then. What will convince you of Bitcoin's relevancy? Like, what does it take for Jeremy to be convinced?
Yeah, I've got to see it in the real world in a major way, right? I've got to see people around me using cryptocurrencies. I've got to see, you know, for whatever it is, I've got to see myself being like, oh, I need to use this, right? I've got to see it out there, right, in the real world for me to say, okay, this is like real in a major way. But then it comes down to also getting back to valuation, right?
So sorry. When you say use it, like I use my credit card from BlockFi all the time to pay for everything because I get like 1.5% Bitcoin rewards. I use it all the time. So can you specify or clarify what you mean by like you use it? Because I use it all the time. I don't spend it, but I collect it and I earn it and I'm holding it. But
yeah, you're holding it, right? I think what Ethereum did over the past year, I think as far as like NFTs building on Ethereum, I think that's a good building block, right? I think that's a good start. But I've got to see a lot more from Ethereum over time. And if then we go off the rails and talk about other crypto projects, you know, like yeah, I mean, just a lot. I mean, Ethereum is probably the best real world case I can think of in terms of something that people are actually into right now when it comes to like those NFTs and whatnot. So,
Andre, what Jeremy's really saying is he wants to see their earnings report. he wants to see future projections, whether or not they pay a dividend. It's a lot of things, the price to earnings ratio. Until Bitcoin is a price to earnings ratio, staying away from it.
I want a forward PE. Kevin, you're awfully quiet. I want to hear from you, Kevin.
Well, I mean, I was listening. I think what it is there are different types of demand. You know, real estate, for example, is a necessity. And crypto is not a necessity. But you kind of have this, like, imputed demand. And it's kind of an imputed demand of will. Like, people want it. People want to put their money into what they believe is untouchable by the government, even though we're going to get regulated the crap out of, right? Which to some degree we should. That's what people want. So people are creating their own market. I mean, to some degree, an iPhone is not a necessity and YouTube is not a necessity, but houses, right? But I think the part I really wanted to hit on was, so it's a different type of demand that generates interest for it. But earlier you mentioned like, what would happen? Would anybody blink an eye if crypto disappeared? Jeremy, you mentioned that, I don't know, 5-10 minutes ago. And a lot of bad things would happen because think about it, like Visa, MasterCard, Square, they all lose billions of dollars. Their shareholders lose billions of dollars. DeFi, interest, and all the investments people have put in DeFi, gone. Artwork, billions of dollars valued artwork, gone. Artists who go all into crypto, bankrupt. I mean, you're talking massive defaults, market caps of thousands of companies getting extinguished, right? Like people investing to get their savings and they have these stable coins and all that stuff just disappears. The government of Ecuador goes bankrupt because all their assets went to zero. You know, SoFi, BlockFi credit cards, Robinhood, you name it. So like a lot of bad things would happen if crypto just disappeared. And sure, like it's one of those like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like what came first? Like Tesla producing a car and then its stock went up. Okay, yeah. In this case, it feels backwards, right? Kind of like people wanted it. And the more people wanted it, the more the price went up. And so I see your issue of like justifying the valuation. But really what it is, it has the value because people are paying it. It's quite frankly, the most free market that really exists. There are no barriers. It literally is. Who wants to pay me for it, right? There are no earnings. That actually almost makes it like a potentially even a more pure value in a weird way. You know, you or I running numbers on Tesla, not that we're giving financial advice because we're not, but it's really just a tool for convincing people that, you know, why we believe in a particular company. But all you need is somebody actually making that purchase and hodling those shares, and that creates market value. It's nothing more than that. Like when a company, and this is what frustrates me so much, some dumb company that I think is totally worthless, you know, raises $5 million at a $1 billion market cap. It's like all they got was $5 million, but they're valued at $1 billion, right? Because somebody who's willing to pay that percentage of the company, $5 million for that percentage of the company. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on, financial wizardry and stuff. But I don't know, maybe you're just looking at it the wrong way. But quite frankly, listening to the conversation, I've kind of just concluded, make your portfolio allocation. You know, Andre might be comfortable with 30% or more. I don't know what, I forgot what yours is, Andre. Jeremy, you know, leave yours at zero. And then whenever you have an allocation, let me know, because then I'll sell, because that's probably when grandma and grandpa are in. And that's my barometer to sell.
That's great. No.
Dude, I was thinking about that the other day, because I was like, man, it's so easy to make money in crypto. It's just everything flies high. It's just like buy. And I was thinking about that the other day. And then I was like, oh, man, we're probably in a bubble, because I'm thinking about just loading up on cryptos left and right. So be a little scared. But yeah, when I actually do it, that's when we're at the top for sure. But no, I'd rather be in the picks and shovels business, personally.
Jeremy, you know? Is it okay if I create a TTCF coin? Would you buy it?
Hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking, Andre.
There we go.
No, but in all seriousness, Whoa.
Sorry.
So,
my bad.
Anywho, I like to be in the picks and shovels business when it comes to crypto, right? Because I don't know what's going to be the next big thing or whatnot. So I would rather just own crypto brokerages as my exposure. I'm not a crypto picker. I'm a stock picker, right? And so it's kind of like a gold rush. I gave this analogy recently. It's kind of like a gold rush, back in the 1900s or whatever, everybody's moving to California trying to sift through gold. And I would just rather be in the picks and shovels business. Whatever ends up being the big ones is what ends up being the big ones, right? Maybe Bitcoin is that $10 trillion, $20 trillion market cap. Or maybe Bitcoin in 5 or 10 years is not like that. And we're like, remember when we used to think Bitcoin was going to be the big thing? This is actually the big thing over here, right? So, yeah, I don't know, what's going to be the thing, but I'd just rather be in the picks and shovels business and make money that way. So
That's kind of what I love about investing in personal finance is it's called personal finance for a reason, because it's personal to every one of us and what we value. And it is, at the end of the day, somewhat subjective. So it's kind of interesting.
That's why I'm thinking, like, just pick your allocation, right? And when you got to be comfortable with it, because the last thing you want to do is invest in it and then freak out because the price went down, right? And then you sell at bottom. Like, there are a lot of people, they'll hear, oh, my friend's in this stock or whatever. Then they buy the stock. They know nothing about it. They're like, oh, man, why is the stock going down? Well, how much did you research it? Why did you buy it? And it's like, well, I don't know, somebody else bought it. Well, that's why 99% of people lose money investing. It's just, maybe it's not that high, but whatever. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense. Graham, you're awfully quiet. What do you got to say?
I mean, I don't know. I agree with Kevin, but I agree with Andre as well. I don't know. I see the potential. I think it will probably shift, maybe not. Just over the next 5-10 years is more develops. But I still believe we're in the infancy of things, and I don't believe there's any harm taking 3%. That's it. Just 3% and just throw it in blindly. Just Bitcoin, Ethereum, 3% done. Never look at it again. Don't look at it for 20 years. And then come back to it.
Yeah.
If it's nothing, it's 3%. Not that big of a deal. If it's something that 3% could have doubled, tripled, could be worth 10x. That's the way I see it.
If I had to go all in on Ethereum or Tattooed Chef, Ethereum, no questions. And I think that's a great place for us to mention that if you want to learn what my top five stock picks are, sponsored by The Motley Fool, thank you, go to metkevin.com/fool. That's metkevin.com/fool or meetkevin.com/fool. They both work. And check it out. Just throw your email in. Doesn't cost you anything. You'll get to learn what those five top stock picks are. Shout out to, of course, The Motley Fool for sponsoring us. We have a challenge every single week. Now where Graham went first with his five stock picks, so you could look 2 weeks ago to see his. Andre's last week. Jeremy's will be next week. So then we'll be able to kind of compare the performance of our top five. So again, shout out to The Motley Fool there at metkevin.com/fool. And I don't know. We got anything else?
I think we're good, guys. So Great. With that said, make sure to subscribe. Do that really quick. That's all we ask. That's it. Go and subscribe. Then hit the like button. Then you could hit the notification bell. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. Again, all of our links are down below in the description. And until next week.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale. For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.